It's my privilege to be opening our God's Word with you this morning. So if you've got a Bible, can you please open it up to Romans chapter 8, and we'll be starting at verse 31 and reading through to 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Well, it is Good Friday, and we are remembering the death of Jesus. And as Josh said earlier, there is something that is surprising that Christians describe the day that their Saviour died as good. Not because of what happened to Jesus, we know that that was a terrible thing, but because of what Jesus achieved even through his death. And one of the great things that Jesus achieved in his death is security, that there is security for all who trust in Jesus and his death for them. You know, security is something we all need, do we not? We have friends and loved ones who are in Dubai right now, and with missiles nearby, they know they need security. Probably many of you lately have been checking your bank accounts, maybe more often recently. You feel your need for security in a different kind of way. But there's lots of ways that we feel this need. Last year, I had a hernia operation, and I mean, it's a pretty standard operation, but I'd never been under a general before, and I'm pretty squeamish about medical stuff as it is. And so as they gowned me up, as I got prepped, I just wasn't a big fan, right? But there's lots of ways that we can feel fragile, whether it's to do with health, whether it's to do with stress, whether it's to do with relationships or grief, whether it's even to do with a sense of purpose and meaning. There's just so many ways that we can feel fragile, unsettled. And so what a startling thing this morning, as we talk about Jesus' death, that we are talking about security. But we are, because this whole chapter of the Bible that we have here, Romans chapter 8, it's what it's all about. And so we're looking in this final chunk, verses 31 through to 39. They're the little numbers in your Bible. And notice where it begins in verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, can you notice there that he's trying to bring you a sense of reassurance? Who can be against us if God is on our side? And so let's look at this section and notice that because of Jesus' death, there is security as we put our trust in him. And we'll talk of three things here. Firstly, let's talk about our needs. Have a look at verse 32. We're told there these amazing words. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. See, this is saying that when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't an accident of history. But actually, God was giving up his son for us. There was a purpose in it. And we'll talk more of that soon. But the point here is that if God was ready to give even his son for us, surely there is nothing else he wouldn't be willing to give, because everything else is less than his son. That's the point. Okay, it's like if a couple spends months and thousands of dollars getting ready for their wedding day, you know that if on that wedding day there is a power cord that's needed, that if nail polish is needed, they're not going to say no to spending money in the moment on that. Of course they want. They've already spent thousands of dollars. And so if God has given us even his son, isn't it reasonable to think that he will care for us in every other way? Of course he will. Now, this isn't a promise that you'll never go through hardship by trusting in Jesus. We see from verse 35 onwards all the kinds of hardships that Christians can go through. But it is saying, rest assured, if God has given you even his son, you will not end up feeling that you have been shortchanged. And so you can be confident when health troubles come, when grief hits hard, when prices keep climbing, when relationships hurt, you can feel confident that God will not abandon you. He's given you his son, so he won't give up on you. He will help you take the next step, even when you can't see the whole path. He'll comfort you, he'll strengthen you, and in the life to come, no follower of Jesus will say that they were hard done by. But what you will say is, God gave me his son and he's given me everything else. In the cross, we find security in our need. And in the cross too, what we find is security even as we face our guilt. Okay, notice where the passage goes next. Look at verse 33 up on your screen. Verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. See, we're talking here about the experience of being condemned. I reckon everyone here knows what it is to experience condemnation. Sometimes you feel condemned by others, and sometimes you condemn yourself. There's that foolish choice you made online. A relationship breakdown that still hurts, a sexual history you regret, lies you told, a sense you failed your children, opportunities wasted. And some of this is real guilt. Some of it may be misplaced. But all of us know what it is to sink under the burden of condemnation. And to the extent that we can make good with others, we should, but ultimately it is not the opinion of others or even of ourselves that matters, but it is the opinion of God. It's like we can feel great or not so great about how we're going in a subject at school or at uni, but ultimately what will matter is when the final results come in, and ultimately it's where we stand before God that matters. It is God who justifies, we're told here, And what this passage wants you to understand is that if you are trusting in Jesus, God's verdict is, I do not condemn you. No matter what you've done, you are not condemned. The verdict in the courtroom of God is not guilty. It's actually legal language here. And why are you not guilty? Well, because in the courtroom of God, no penalty remains against you, because Jesus has borne your punishment in his death. And so what is the verdict for those who are trusting in Jesus? What is the verdict on you for that terrible thing that weighs you down? No condemnation. Not guilty because of Jesus on the cross. See, this is what has already been said back in chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And what a difference the cross of Jesus makes. And how much that can help you as you wrestle with the condemnation that you experience in yourself or that others place on you. In the end, it is the verdict of God that matters. So we can find security even as we face our guilt. So there's security in our needs, and there's security as we face guilt. And then finally, here too, we can find security because we know that we are loved. Okay, that's where this chapter finishes in verse 35 and following. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And then verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, the point is, even if you go through great hardship as a Christian, you can know that you are loved. You know, many struggle with the idea that a God of love can allow suffering. And I just want to say I appreciate that question. And if you want to think into that more, we have giveaways at the Connectus that may be of help to you. But just to say, when I talk to Christians about the times when they have actually felt closest to God, almost always they mention times of hardship, that God came near to them in a special way through those times. And the reality is, even where we don't feel that love in those moments, the truth is we can know that God loves us because we can look back to the cross. These verses here are building on what was said earlier in the book in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, where it says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, the cross tells us of God's immeasurable love, that he would in Jesus die for sinners like us. And so if God loved us enough to send us his son, there is no way that he will separate us from his love now. And so how amazing to know that we are loved even as we go through hardship. Viktor Frankl, he was a Holocaust survivor and he went through great suffering. And one of the things he wrote about after the experience was the way that actually thinking of his wife's love for him as he went through that suffering, it just helped him endure the struggles. And I think through our experience, though our experiences are far removed from that, yet I think there is something that kind of appreciates what he's saying here, because I mean, I think we understand intuitively, don't we, that we can endure a great deal if we know that we are loved. But then on the other hand too, everything can be going really well for us outwardly, but if we don't know that we are loved, we feel fragile. And so on a day like today, what a good thing that we remember that God has demonstrated his great love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so how secure are we if we trust in Jesus? We are secure. If we trust in Jesus, we know that we are not abandoned in our time of need. If we trust in Jesus, we know that we are not condemned in our burden of guilt. And as we trust in Jesus, we know that we continue to be loved in our experience of hardship. And so let's put our trust in Jesus, knowing that it is in him that we find lasting security.